Good morning to all. Hope you're doing well. You woke up on the right side of the bed, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Or the left, depending on where you sleep. Okay. So let's pray. Father, I honor you and I praise you. I magnify you. I do thank you for this new day that you've made, Father. Thank you for your presence in our lives and your presence in this service, Father. I pray that as the word goes forth, Father God, we'll be blessed, Father, that you will minister to us, Father, and that, Father, we will be not just hearers of your word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You know, when I was still working, there was our management had a habit of putting these motivational phrases right in the conference room. So one morning we came in, and there this motivational story was posted in the conference room. It says, every morning in the jungle, every lion wakes up knowing that if he is to survive, he must be able to outrun the slowest gazelle. In that same jungle, every morning, every gazelle wakes up knowing that if he is to survive, he must be able to outrun the fastest lion. So every morning in that jungle, whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when you wake up, you better be running. And that's the same for us, right? When we wake up, we better be running. Now, I don't know how much motivation this gave any of us, but I started thinking about that story, and I thought it's just like that gazelle. We Christians have an adversary that wakes up every morning with the goal of being able to outrun us, to kill, to steal, and destroy the blessings that God has in store for us. Well, such an adversary, every morning when we wake up, our mindset must be that we will not be outrun by our adversary, but we will put the adversary on the run and get everything that the Lord has for us. So let's look at a few points to help us live that victorious life that I'm alluding to. As we serve God, we need to realize that we have an advocate that is more than able to help us live out an overcoming life as a child of God. Our God will supply us with the strength to defeat our adversaries and to live that victorious life. Isaiah 40:13 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, waiting on the Lord, that's the patient expectation that God will fulfill his promises of his word and strengthen us to rise above the difficulties of life. It means to completely trust in God, not just hanging around to see what's going to happen and maybe I'm going to be okay, maybe I'm not. But it means serving the Lord and knowing that he's watching over us, knowing that he's taken care of. And the phrase mounting up on wings like eagles, that depicts that we're to depend on the strength of the Lord to sustain us and to deliver us. So we have an advocate against that adversary. Second point, we need to acknowledge and live the truth that our God is much stronger than any worldly adversary we face. 1 Peter 5:6-10 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. As we acknowledge that God is first place in our lives, we turn all of our troubles, our challenges, everything over to him, he's going to take care of us. As we discipline our thoughts and actions to resist the traps of the evil one, we position ourselves for victory over the obstacles of life. As we use our faith in the living God, we can be sure that he has our backs. He rebukes the enemy. You know that enemy? Our enemy, he can only roar like a lion. He doesn't have any teeth. He has no power over us as we're depending on our God. And you know, the real lion, we serve Jesus, right? Who's he? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he's the real lion. And he's on our side. Ain't that great? I mean, isn't that great? Praise God. The third point. In our Christian walk, we need to understand that we have a large crowd of supporters encouraging us to finish strong. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4 says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus did that for us. "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, for you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." So this great cloud of witnesses that's mentioned in verse 1, these are the people of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. They serve as positive witnesses to us that it's possible to live an overcoming life through faith in God. They testify to us that as we lay aside everything that hinders us and keeps our focus on Jesus, we will live that overcoming life that he has called us to. You know, this great crowd of witnesses could also include friends, relatives of ours, those who have known and served the Lord and gone before us, and we have seen what God has done in their lives. We've seen his faithfulness to them. And this encourages us in our service to the Lord by their lives and testimonies. They just simply testify and encourage us to remain steadfast as we serve the Lord. The fourth point, living an overcoming Christian walk involves disciplining our entire being, our body, our soul, our spirit, being disciplined. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That's what we need to do, stand. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, in our Christian life, there are many obstacles that are trying to knock us off our path. To withstand these attacks, we need to depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor as we walk victoriously. God's defensive armor covers us from head to foot and provides protection against the wiles of the devil. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that's our offensive weapon. That's in our armor. To make the most effective use of this weapon, we need to be diligent to learn the whole word of God so that the sword of the Spirit can be used in those specific situations. And when you're in sickness, we can be encouraged by the word. When we're being challenged, we can be encouraged by the word. So we need to know where to go and where to find that help that God has for us. We'll talk a little bit more about the armor of God later, okay? Point five, in addition to the armor of God, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11, in that those verses, God gives us a step-by-step, layer-by-layer plan to help us walk effectively in him. So let's get into that. Let's take a few minutes to look at that plan. And if you'll stay with me, we'll build that plan together in our lives, okay? Everybody still with me? Okay, I don't see anybody sleeping. This is good. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1, 2 through 3, 2 and 3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue." Now, all things means all things, everything. Our talents, our skills, personality, our power, our abilities, our courage, the ability to release the sins of the past, to the ability to release those and forgive those who sin against us. All these things, the ability to do that, God has given to us. And we see in the second part of the scripture that we access all these things that God has ordained for us by growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing and growing in the knowledge of who God is. Knowledge is the intelligent understanding of God and his nature. And we get that by reading the word, by prayer. We gain this knowledge, we know, as we study. And don't forget that this strong knowledge of the Bible, it's needed to effectively use the sword of the Spirit, which is our weapon in the armor of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing, accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth." Then 2 Peter 1, verse 4 says, "By which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So our knowledge, our belief in the promises of God that God has made us, who made us, forms the foundation for us to be able to tap into his divine power and obtain all things that pertain to life and godliness. We don't have time to elaborate on all the promises of God, but let's look at a few of them. But I urge us all to be doers of 2 Timothy 2:15 and get into the word. Learn how to use it. God promises salvation. John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We need to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's provided forgiveness of sins and a release from the condemnation of past experiences. This is a major piece in the foundation of our overcoming faith. Now, it may seem like I'm just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And you know what? I am. Because this is what we have to know if we're going to live that overcoming life in Jesus. This is what we have to have down in our spirit, to know that if whatever happens, whatever our circumstance, we're going to trust in the Lord and the covering of our Lord. So God promises salvation, and God promises hope. Romans 15:4 said, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." 1 John 3:3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he's pure." So as we're building this plan to live a successful life in God, hope is another anchor in the foundation of faith. As we cling to that anchor of hope, it'll help us overcome trials, temptations, and evil desires in this life. God promises the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Luke 24:49 says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit gives us the power and ability to walk boldly in the talents, the skills, the personality that God has gifted us with. The power to live as God has called us to, and to participate in that divine nature and live for Him. Okay, 2 Peter 1:5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So this scripture begins to build up, add layers, and to strengthen that foundation of faith that we have in God's promises. We're to intentionally build on this faith and add virtue, add knowledge, so we can grow and gain victory. Hebrews 11:1, speaking of faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Ephesians 2:8-9, for this, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And Romans 10:8-9 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now virtue, we're adding virtue. That's moral excellence. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we should alert our minds and our hearts to the fact that we're saved and we're going to walk with this godly character. We're going to walk in virtue. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, an important scripture. Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, handling skillfully, and teaching the word of God. So far in our plan, we've added to the faith in God's promises, we've added virtue and knowledge. And let's continue to build our plan as we add some more character traits that God tells us to develop in these scriptures so that we can lead that overcoming life. 1 Peter 1:6 says, to knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, add godliness. Self-control, that's discipline. We've got to discipline ourselves. Titus 2:11-12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We're going to add to that self-control perseverance. Perseverance, that's steadfastness. Patient endurance. Galatians 6:9-10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God. And to perseverance we'll add godliness. Godliness, that's living like Christ, living out our lives. 1 Timothy 6:11-12 says, but you, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we're continuing to build this plan. We've added to faith in God's promise. We've added virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and godliness. Are you with me? You building your plan with me? Amen. So we're almost there. Let's not get weary in well-doing. Let's stay disciplined. Let's finish this plan that we're going to live out. Okay? 2 Peter 1:7 says, to godliness, add brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, add love. Brotherly kindness, that's compassion for each other. Living with compassion. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. And love, that's like a deep-seated love, that's caring for each other. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 and 13 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. In verse 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And if you notice the other two attributes in this chapter, faith, in this verse, hope, faith, and hope, guess what? Those are a part of our plan too, right? To serve God and live a righteous and upright life. So we've added all the layers that God told us we need to live an overcoming life. We've added faith in God's promises. We've added to that virtue. To that we've added knowledge. To that we've added self-control. To that we've added perseverance. To that we've added godliness. To that we've added brotherly kindness and brotherly love. So we've got this plan. Now what does the Lord say that now that we have built these layers, we've built this plan, what does the Lord tell us about it? He says in 1 Peter 1:8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we have all these qualities, characteristics in our lives, we're going to be effective in our walking with God. We're going to be productive in our knowledge and walking with Lord. And you know, this is with the Lord, this is an encouraging passage to me. It says that we're in an increasing measure, having these qualities in increasing measure. It doesn't say that we have to possess them all and get them all and get them all perfect before we can overcome and live that life that God has called us to. It says as we're working on it, we have them in increasing measure. We're working on it. We're growing in it. Because we're all going to stumble. We're going to mess up sometimes, right? Do you mess up sometimes? Y'all don't, but I do, okay? We're going to mess up. We're going to stumble at times. But if we hang on to this anchor of hope, it's rooted in our foundation of faith. We can repent, accept God's forgiveness, and resume our pursuit of that overcoming life. And God goes on to tell us in 2 Peter 1:9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So God's telling us, you've got to have this plan in your life. You've got to have it in place. Because if you don't, you might be saved. You've accepted Jesus, but you're not working on growing in me. We're saved, but we're not growing in the talents, the skills, the power, the abilities that God has placed in us. We're not gaining victory over the sins and the things of the past that hold us down and keep us looking over our shoulder, and we're just not doing that, and keeps us living in fear. So I encourage us to pursue these qualities. And God goes on in 2 Peter 1:10 says, and this is a good one, listen, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. This is God telling us as we work this plan he's given, he's laid out for us. If we do what he tells us to do, we're not going to stumble. You like that? I do. I like that. And the next verse is even better. 1 Peter 1:11 says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whew. You looking for that rich welcome by Jesus? You looking for when you get in heaven, you get up to heaven, Jesus is going to be waiting for you. He's got his arms wide open. He's got a big smile on his face. And he's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. I like that. And I'm sure that's the result. That's what we're all seeking. So as I conclude this morning, I encourage us all to work on God's plan and live as overcomers. To summarize, let's put on the whole armor of God the first thing every morning. You know, John encouraged us last week in his teaching, in the morning pray. First, get yourself ready in the morning to face the world. So let's put on the armor of God first thing every morning. Let's put on that helmet of salvation and guarding our minds with the sure knowledge that we belong to God. Let's put on a breastplate of righteousness, guarding our heart, out of which flow the issues of life. Let's gird our waist with the belt of truth to keep us grounded in a sure knowledge of who we are in Christ. Let's shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that we can walk with the peace of God all day. Let's hold up that shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And let's wield that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let it be going before us constantly, cutting down the schemes of the devil. Let us pray about everything at all times. And let's work our plan. Let's pursue faith in God's promises, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, and brotherly kindness. Let's let those be a part of our lives and a daily walk, the way we walk every day. And as we're doing all this, let's constantly have our eyes on Jesus. And when we're going to see him in heaven, and he's going to richly welcome us, let's do that. Did you build that plan with me? Amen. And walk after it. Walk after it. And as I close, I hope that all of us in here have accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and that we're in a position to apply and live out this plan that we talked about this morning. If not, if you want to take that first step, I'll be out in the foyer. Come see me, and we'll pray with you. I'll pray with you, okay, so that you can accept Jesus and get on God's road with God's plan. If you're saved and need prayer, I'll be out there so you can stop by and have some prayer, okay? So I pray that everyone has a blessed and overcoming rest of the day, an overcoming week, as we walk together in God's plan. Amen? Amen. Praise God.